Eat me. Feed me more. Feed me more.
Ladies and gentlemen, to yet another episodic edition of Spoilers Podcast here tonight, episode number 61. I'm your host for this evening, Bleacher Report feature columnist Graham G.S.M. Matthews. Unfortunately, our usual co-host, Ben Gartland, could not make it here tonight. He had another conflict. But nonetheless, after a month's absence, Seth Guttenplan is joining me here today to talk about Monday Night Raw, The Undertaker's status, WrestleMania 29 plans, and much, much more here on tonight's edition of Spoilers. How's it going, Seth?
Hey, how's it going? Glad to be back on Spoilers. No, I haven't been here the last couple of weeks, but it's good to be back.
Sounds great. And as I just discussed before, Monday Night Raw this past Monday night, electric edition going into the road to WrestleMania 29. To kick off the show, we have the returns of Triple H and Brock Lesnar. The first time that we've seen Brock Lesnar in just 3 weeks, the first time that we've seen Triple H since the Slammy Wars, jump-starting their feud for the first time since August, when they battled the SummerSlam pay-per-view, where Brock Lesnar emerged victorious clean and in clean fashion. That was great to see, but nonetheless, their inevitable feud is back together for the WrestleMania 29 event, and nonetheless, it kicked off in very hot fashion with the two brawling out to kick off Monday Night Show. So, Seth, your thoughts on the brawl to kick off the show between Brock Lesnar and Triple H?
I thought it was great. I thought it was one of those situations that, although it was very predictable, it was still entertaining and still done well. So it was one of the times when I didn't mind the predictability.
Exactly. It was something that we could all see coming, but nonetheless, it was very entertaining nonetheless. And with that being said, with this feud being booked many months ago since the initial feud ended, many people saw this feud being brought back for the road to WrestleMania. But with that being said, are you excited for this feud after seeing the brawl on Monday's Raw?
I don't know about excited. I guess I just don't mind as much that we'll see the match again.
Well, with that being said, too, do you think they'll change it up in regards to last year's build? Because last year's build involved the likes of Shawn Michaels, who will more than likely not be back for this feud this time around. But nonetheless, we have Vince McMahon replacing him, so maybe it will be different from their feud going into SummerSlam, because if they don't change it up, it's going to be the same thing that we're hoping, or not hoping, that Rock and Cena is going to be, in the sense that it's just going to be the same exact thing that we saw last year, so we have no incentive to watch it at WrestleMania 29. So do you expect any change in the storyline, or expect them to go the same route that we saw them take going into SummerSlam's or last year's SummerSlam event?
That's a good point and a good question. Obviously, like you said, I hope they don't do the same thing. More interaction with Heyman and McMahon would be good, Mr. McMahon, not as much Stephanie. But hopefully it's not as boring as it was last year, the build-up. I mean, we saw them, what was it, like once a month, we saw Triple H at No Way Out make an announcement, and then you wouldn't see them again for a few weeks, and that just made the feud so much worse when you only see the guys every so often. And, I mean, that's why I'm not that excited in general for the feud. I think they'll put on probably a better match than they did at SummerSlam. But in terms of the feud, I'm not that excited. What about you?
Yeah, it all kind of depends on what Brock Lesnar's contract situation is. I know he re-signed until WrestleMania 31, I believe, but with that being said, his current contract expires at WrestleMania 29. I'm not sure what the rest of his dates look like. I'm not sure if he's going to be on every Raw going forward. We have five Raws remaining until WrestleMania, so I could very well see him being involved in every Raw going forward. Triple H is a given. But as far as Brock Lesnar goes, I don't really know. Hopefully he is, because as you were saying, the feud between them last summer lasted from late April to August's SummerSlam pay-per-view. So dragging it out over the course of 4 months with those guys sporadically appearing on Raw each week kind of held the feud back a little bit, so maybe that's one flaw that they could come around in the sense that they're just hot-shotting it every single week rather than doing it every other week, kind of spacing it out. Hopefully this time they kind of change things up again so it's not the same exact thing that we saw last month or last year, I'm sorry, and kind of get people more excited for this feud after the sense that this is a great way to kick it back off. No one, as you were just saying before, not a lot of people are excited for this feud going into the event, myself included, but after seeing her brawl this past week on Raw, I'm hopefully getting it a chance for it, a second chance to see this match go down at WrestleMania, hopefully in a no-holds-barred matchup to get rid of all the limits that we saw during their SummerSlam bout. So with that being said, we do have a call on area code 626. Please state your name, where you're from, and your thoughts on the Triple H brawl, on the Triple H Brock Lesnar brawl from Monday Night Raw.
How's it going, Graham? It's Dave.
Hey, how's it going, David?
Pretty good. I thought the brawl was done really well, especially to open the show, building up to the rematch that we're going to get at WrestleMania. It's pretty clear by this point we're going to get the match at WrestleMania. I mean, I know there's another guy on the show speaking. I was listening to his thoughts too, and I agree. I'm not looking forward. I don't mean that word, but I hope that we see more of what we. I mean, I hope we see more at their match at WrestleMania than we saw at SummerSlam. Preferably a no-holds-barred, some sort of stipulation added where these guys can just beat the holy hell out of each other. I mean, like I said last time on last time's show, the build-up was good. Just the match itself. I mean, the match was good, the build-up was better, but in my honest opinion, the match could have been better, and I'm hoping we'll see a better match at WrestleMania. I mean, just the fact that Lesnar was split open, like, about 45 seconds into the brawl. I mean, accidental or not, I can see it giving them an idea to just add another stipulation to their match at WrestleMania, where it's not just going to be a regular singles match, maybe just up the ante a little bit, maybe a no-holds-barred, no disqualification. I heard a rumor of some that they're considering doing another Hell in a Cell match, but I don't see them doing that. What are your guys' thoughts?
Another Hell in a Cell match, that'd be interesting. I don't think they should go that route after the Hell in a Cell match they had at last year's WrestleMania, and that was extremely well done, one of the best matches of the year, undoubtedly. But with that being said, I don't want to see it again at this year's event. I think it would pale in comparison to that matchup with Undertaker. But nonetheless, as you were saying, the match with Triple H and Brock Lesnar at last year's SummerSlam event was indeed solid. I did enjoy it while it lasted. However, it could be, as you said, the build was great. Hopefully they can do even a better job this time around, and the match will even be even better this time around as well. Hopefully, if they're given that no-holds-barred stipulation, I don't think the Hell in a Cell stipulation is necessary. And you also brought up another very good point as well, in the fact that the blood that was involved in their brawl on Monday as well, something that we don't usually see on Monday Night Raw as of late, obviously, due to the PG rating. But nonetheless, it really helped bring that legitimate feeling to the brawl between Triple H and Brock Lesnar. As you were saying, regardless of whether it was accidental or not, it was great. It brought a great feeling to this brawl. And this is one of the reasons why I'm excited for it. Here's hoping that we see more of this going forward in the feud between Lesnar and Triple H going to WrestleMania. So, Seth, if you would like to add anything on to that as well.
Well, I just think that although I agree that we shouldn't see them in Hell in a Cell, I would like to see some sort of stipulation in a match, whether it's a street fight. Something cool would be, you know, similar to maybe the Roddy Piper Goldust street fight we saw years ago at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, not a street fight like just going to the backstage area, but being much more creative street fight. But, you know, I'm open to other ideas in terms of stipulations, but I don't want to just see a regular match or a regular no disqualification match where I want to see something a little creative.
Yeah, same here. Hopefully that is established come next week. The match is made official for WrestleMania, because at this point in time, the only match is made official for WrestleMania. It's a World Heavyweight Championship match between Jack Swagger and Alberto Del Rio, as well as the WWE Championship match between The Rock and John Cena. And speaking of Jack Swagger and Alberto Del Rio, after what we were talking about last week, what happened with Jack Swagger was the possession of marijuana and the DUI. He was shockingly not faced with any punishment from the WWE officials, although I believe he should have, despite the fact that he's number one contender to the World Heavyweight Championship at Mania. I think he should have been suspended. I don't think it would have been a good idea, or a good idea, to have him suspended following Mania. I think that's way too long. It's 6-7 weeks away. I don't think it'd be worth it by that point in time. But nonetheless, he was still involved on Monday's Raw in a segment with Alberto Del Rio on Miz TV, talking about their feud, help building that up. But it wasn't really Jack Swagger doing much of the talking. It was Zeb Coulter, a guy who has shown excellent mic skills since resurfacing on WWE television just a mere few short weeks ago. He's been doing a great job in his role, despite the controversy. But nonetheless, he's been a great mouthpiece for the real American Jack Swagger, talking about immigration issues and whatnot on this week's Raw. I don't think it was the most exciting segment, but before I go on any further, I'd like your thoughts, David, on what you saw of this segment involving Alberto Del Rio, Jack Swagger, Zeb Coulter, The Miz, and Ricardo Rodriguez on Miz TV on Raw this past week.
I thought it was well done, actually. I really enjoyed the back and forth between Del Rio and Coulter. I mean, it really showed that Coulter was getting under Del Rio's skin with the whole talk of immigration. And then the fact that Del Rio was making another good point to where it was immigrants. I mean, he had said it the week before, but he had said it again to Coulter's face, saying that it was immigrants that founded this country. And just, I thought the back and forth was well done. Coulter doing all the talking for Swagger, like you said, is excellent. I think he's a great talker, especially for Swagger, who just cannot deliver on the mic, though he does deliver in the ring. I just enjoyed it 100%. I thought it was well done. And it was given a lot of time, too, to build more toward their match at WrestleMania, which I thought was great.
Yeah, Zeb Coulter in his role, he did a very fine job in his role as Jack Swagger's mouthpiece on this week's Raw, talking about the whole immigration issue against Del Rio, the whole meaning behind this feud to begin with. I just didn't think that Del Rio's response to Zeb Coulter was all that inspiring. I thought they could have done that much, much better than it came off as. Del Rio was still trying to get over as a babyface. Swagger is still getting over, or still attempting to get over as a heel, and that's coming along nicely. Del Rio, I've liked him as a face since he turned face a mere 2 months ago, but this promo was not his best showing. He is good on the mic when he's given motivation, when he's given meaning behind his promos, but this is just kind of the standard stick up for the Americans generic babyface promo that we could have seen from anyone else aside from Del Rio. So I just didn't enjoy Del Rio's response here, but Seth, what were your thoughts on Miz TV from this past week?
I pretty much agree. I think that Zeb Coulter, other than Punk and Heyman, is the best one on the mic in WWE right now. And, you know, it actually makes me wonder whether or not Swagger actually really does have a chance to defeat Del Rio at WrestleMania, especially with all the attention that he's getting. I mean, if you think about it, Swagger right now is getting a lot more attention than The Rock when it comes to in and outside of WWE. And like you said, Del Rio was not impressive during Miz TV. And if you think about it, even when he was a heel, he became quite stale. So hopefully, you know, hopefully we don't see him suffer the same fate as a face that he did as a heel, and that, you know, he had this thing going on with the Destiny and things like that with the heel as a heel, but then he ran out of things and just became stale. So hopefully we don't see that happen to him as a face as well.
Exactly. It's only going to take a few short promos like this to start, you know, having him start to die down as a babyface, the fire that he showed at the beginning of his babyface run, which is what I want to see going forward. Maybe this is only a one-week thing. Maybe the promos get better from here. But overall, I thought this was a very solid segment that helped build the feud between the two going into WrestleMania. We have about 5 weeks left or five Raws left until WrestleMania 29, so they always have more time to build as well. And, of course, there's SmackDown, too, that they can help build it up on since both guys are members of the SmackDown roster. So also one of the reasons why Jack Swagger has been so controversial over the last week or so is due to the Glenn Beck situation. It was a week ago. We didn't talk about this on last week's show because I read about it after spoilers are aired last Thursday. But Glenn Beck had aired some derogatory comments towards WWE on his show The Blaze last week, calling WWE stupid wrestling people, aiming at fan base, calling them conservative, saying that they were trash in the Tea Party or something along those lines. But nonetheless, Glenn Beck had taken, or WWE had taken offense to Glenn Beck's comments, calling them stupid wrestling people, which I think is what angered WWE the most, and invited Glenn Beck to Raw this past week. Of course, he declined, but nonetheless, WWE, since Glenn Beck didn't go to WWE, WWE went to Glenn Beck. So on this week's Raw, or taped earlier in the evening, Michael Cole made his way over to Glenn Beck's offices. That was near that week's Raw in Dallas. It was in someplace in Texas, but Michael Cole tried to get an attempted interview with Glenn Beck, but only made it as far as the front office before getting kicked out by the security. They were stating that he was there filming the show, then they were later saying in the video that he wasn't there. So it was really interesting. I found it hilarious as well, but with that being said, your guys' thoughts, I'll start with you, Seth, your thoughts on the whole Glenn Beck controversy, how WWE handled it, the fact that they didn't go overboard with it on this week's work, which I found pretty shocking, but your thoughts on the whole situation.
It was very well done, and once again, Michael Cole proves that he is a future WWE Hall of Famer. Any situation you put him in, he's excelling at. The way he handled Jerry Lawler's heart attack, and now this, you know, that was, he was really great in that, and it was great for WWE to do this. I thought it was very entertaining, very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. As I was saying before, the fact that they didn't go overboard with it and not trash Glenn Beck over the course of 3 hours on Raw was a plus. I mean, they did that with the whole Denver Nuggets thing back in 2009, the whole double booking of the arena and stuff like that, and they got they took that into effect, and they made the whole Raw episode about that, and they brought out an imposter. That was just absolutely ridiculous. So I'm glad they didn't do something similar to that. Instead, they took it legitimately, they took it seriously. They did it in respectful as well. Michael Cole didn't say anything derogatory during the entire video, but he just came off as very entertaining during the course of the video. It was about 2 to 4 minutes. They aired it on their YouTube channel. They did not air it on Raw this past week. They didn't make much mention of during the course of the show, which is good to see. I know they want mainstream attention from it, but as long as they're not making it a bigger deal than it already is, then I'm completely fine with it. So that was good to see as well. The video is entertaining. The response is entertaining. Glenn Beck's an idiot anyway for making those comments for WWE. But nonetheless, David, your thoughts towards this entire situation?
I think... sorry. I just think the whole Beck's comments was just very childish. I mean, it's one thing to take shots at the company, but when you're gonna go out of your way to call their fans stupid, it's just a whole nother ball game. I mean, people have been trashing WWE for years, but to actually go out of your way to call their fans stupid is just very childish. And I did like the whole poll trying to get the interview and just getting taken out by the security guard. I thought it was done. I thought it was well done. I mean, like you said, it's good that they didn't go overboard with the situation, as that whole incident with the Denver Nuggets in 09, how the whole double arena thing. I mean, we're more into the PG era, so I think it's WWE's way of trying to show that they're a bit more more professional than they were a few years back. I think it was well done, in my opinion.
Exactly. As I was just saying, they didn't go overboard with it, but they did it in a manner where it was still entertaining, they were still staying respectful, and they just did it in an approach that was very well done overall. So moving on here, two guys, Dolph Ziggler and Mark Henry. Both former World Heavyweight Champions have been on a roll in recent months. Dolph Ziggler picking up victories over the likes of Randy Orton Survivor Series, defeating John Cena in the main event of the WWE TLC pay-per-view in December, but has recently gone back to his consistent losing ways on Monday Night Raw, sadly. But also Mark Henry returning from injury a few short weeks ago, dominating the competition. But both guys are undoubtedly deserving of a WrestleMania moment, and not WrestleMania moment, but more so a WrestleMania match. As of now, they're not booked in the Mania match. I mean, many people are at this point in time, but even still, they don't have a solid feud in place. There's guys like The Shield and Randy Orton and Sheamus and Wade Barrett and a few others that look like they have some sort of direction going into WrestleMania, that we kind of can tell what they're going to do. We're not 100% sure at this point in time, but we kind of can tell what they're going to do at the show of shows. Dolph Ziggler and Mark Henry, two guys that have absolutely nothing going for them right there at the moment. I mean, in the sense that they have no feud going on at the moment, so that's a bit strange, especially since WWE is backing both guys. Mark Henry has been a monster in recent weeks. Dolph Ziggler is a future World Heavyweight Champion, since given the fact that he's Mr. Money in the Bank. So, David, how do you see these guys being involved in WrestleMania and your thoughts on how they've been firmly used in the last few weeks and as well as the matches on this week's Raw, with Dolph Ziggler facing Ryback and Mark Henry facing the Great Khali?
Let's see. Well, I'm still going with the whole idea that I think they should do Dolph Ziggler versus Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. Because if you think about it, Chris Jericho is also another guy who doesn't really have anything set for Mania, unless they want to throw him into, unless they want to have him continuing as getting in more with the Shield storyline. But I mean, if, sorry, what was I going to say? I think out of the two, Dolph Ziggler and Mark Henry, the one who's been more, clearly the one who's been more dominant is Mark Henry. The guy's only lost one match since his return, and it took Jericho's Swagger and Orton, all three guys, just to eliminate him from the chamber, which led him to come back and just destroy all three guys like nothing. I mean, Mark Henry has been booked like a great monster heel, which I think is perfect. And I'm still hoping that they go the direction, as we were talking last week, of a possible Mark Henry and Ryback feud. Because they were teasing a Ryback heel turn, which I don't think they're gonna do, which I think showing this week they kinda gave up on that direction. And as for WrestleMania, I'm gonna go with Mark Henry versus Ryback, a match that I think a lot of us want to see. I don't know about a lot of us, but I know there are people there that want to see the match. And I'm also going with Dolph Ziggler versus Chris Jericho, a match that has built to it within the past few months, going back to SummerSlam. A feud that they can still continue going into WrestleMania, seeing how Jericho and Ziggler don't really have anything to do. And another thing, sorry about that. As for the Ryback and Dolph Ziggler match on Raw, I thought it was actually pretty good. Ziggler got a pretty good match out of Ryback, which I was actually pretty excited to see. And as for the Mark Henry and Great Khali match, it was just another Khali Henry squash match where Henry just picks up Khali, slams and pins him. I knew they weren't gonna do Khali and Henry. Like I said last week, they wouldn't be building up Mark Henry the way they have just to have him go into a match with Khali at Mania. It just wouldn't make any sense. So yeah, that's my two cents on that.
Yeah, exactly. You were saying last week that Mark Henry's been built up to the point where just wouldn't have made sense if he was going to face Khali at WrestleMania. Thankfully, that did not happen, and we got to the match on this week's Raw with Mark Henry quickly disposing of the Great Khali. But, yeah, I completely agree with what you were saying. Mark Henry versus Ryback would be a great match for WrestleMania, given the fact that it doesn't look like they're going the direction of Ryback versus Big Show, a match that's been rumored for many months at this point in time, but it doesn't look like they have any direction regarding that. Big Show hasn't even been on Raw in 2 to 3 weeks since before his match at Elimination Chamber. He wasn't on Raw this week, or last week. I don't know what they're doing with him aside from maybe the potential feud with Booker T, which I still don't think is a good idea. But even still, as far as that match goes, I would love to see it. We've talked about this on spoilers many times in the recent months, but Ryback versus Big Show, as you know, as historic, or not really historic, but as monumental as that match would be, it's not all that realistic that Ryback would be able to pick up Big Show for the Shell Shock. Maybe he could,
yeah,
I'm not sure, but it's a little bit more realistic that he'd be able to pull off or execute the Shell Shock on Mark Henry rather than Big Show. So, and as you were saying, Mark Henry has been booked dominantly since his return in recent weeks, so having Ryback be the guy to stop him at WrestleMania would be perfect. And as far as I know, Mark Henry's current contract expires at WrestleMania. So to get that one last match out of Ryback, or have Ryback get that one last match out of Mark Henry at WrestleMania would be great. And yes, and I also completely agree in the sense that Jericho versus Dolph Ziggler, a match that they want to see at WrestleMania. I want to see that at Mania over the World's Heavyweight Championship. Obviously not really an option at this point in time. Jericho wasn't on this week's Raw doing touring with Fozzy, I believe, this past week. But I think he will be back next week, which is great to see. But yeah, they definitely had history there. They've been feuding since July of 2012. So it makes sense. They have the rubber match at WrestleMania, regardless of whether it's for a championship or not. Regardless of who wins, the match is going to be excellent. And if they don't go that direction, I have no idea what they're going to do with either guy. Ryback pulling a heel turn just is not a smart move at this point in time. Same thing with Jericho. I think he's way too over as a seasoned veteran at this point in time to be turning heel. So I think keeping both guys' face going to WrestleMania, I think, is the best option. And having Dolph Ziggler face Jericho makes sense as well, despite the fact that they haven't really built it up in recent weeks. I'm not just talking about this week, but last week, too, when they were both in the show, they didn't really tease any sort of match between the two at WrestleMania. But maybe we'll see some sort of build towards that on this upcoming episode of Monday Night Raw. So, Seth, your thoughts on the current direction of both Ryback and Mark Henry going to WrestleMania. I'm sorry, Mark Henry and Dolph Ziggler.
Well, I think that those two really have a lot of question marks because the guys that you mentioned, Randy Orton and Ryback, let's say that Ryback faces Mark Henry and or Randy Orton. I mean, what I'm wondering is who are you guys thinking is going to be facing the Shield? If Jericho is facing Ziggler and Orton is facing if Ryback's facing Henry, then who's facing the Shield? Because to me, I think that Orton and Jericho will be in a six-man tag match with the Shield, and their partner will either be Ryback or Sheamus. It's unclear as to what Sheamus is going to be doing because, on one hand, it looks as though he'll be facing Wade Barrett for the Intercontinental title, which would be great for a number of reasons. But at the same time, Sheamus did come out and continue his feud with the Shield. So I think it's very unclear. Basically, the undercard of WrestleMania could go in so many different ways. Who's Ziggler going to face? He and Jericho really haven't seen each other at all, have not really interacted with one another since the Royal Rumble. So I really don't think we're going to see Jericho versus Ziggler. Like I said, I do think that Jericho and Orton will face the Shield. I think Dolph Ziggler is a huge question mark. I think Mark Henry will face Ryback unless they decide to put Ryback in that six-man tag match. If they decide to put Ryback in the six-man tag match, along with Jericho and Orton, that could be one way. Or if they decide to put Sheamus in the six-man tag match, then we might end up seeing Barrett and Bo Dallas, which we really haven't seen Bo Dallas in a long time either. So many question marks.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the status of the... No, you can continue on.
Oh, sorry. That's another thing I was saying, that it just seems Bo Dallas kind of disappeared. I mean, it just kind of seems like... it just kind of seems like WWE just gave up on the whole Dallas Barrett feud. I mean, I think they kind of felt that rushing Bo Dallas this soon into an Intercontinental title feud was just, I think, the wrong way to go. So I think they kind of just quietly removed him, and they decided to go in the direction of a possible Barrett-Sheamus feud for WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the fact that Sheamus came out and continued the feud with The Shield, I really think that a big reason for that was because Jericho was not on TV. If Jericho was on Raw, I think you would have seen Jericho in that situation along with Orton continuing the feud with The Shield. So, you know, to me, one of the biggest question marks is Dolph Ziggler, and who does he face at WrestleMania?
Exactly. That entire undercard is completely unclear at this point in time. I think the status of The Shield is what is bringing or raising the most questions regarding the WrestleMania undercard, because those guys can face practically anyone at this point in time. Randy Orton, Sheamus, Ryback, Chris Jericho, there's so many potential opponents from them to face at WrestleMania. One match out of all the matches that you suggested that I do not want to see, well, you didn't suggest this match, but it's been discussed amongst many people, Ryback versus The Shield in a gauntlet match. That's one match I did not want to see, mostly because Ryback would most likely win due to the fact that I do not want to see The Shield completely buried at the hands of Ryback after they've been built up so strongly since Survivor Series. I don't think that'd be the best idea to have them to feed The Shield to Ryback at WrestleMania. I don't think that'd be all that entertaining, but I would just like to see Ryback move on from The Shield. I know he didn't really get his vengeance over the group in recent weeks after losing to them three consecutive times. I don't think he needs to. I think he can just move on to a new feud with Mark Henry or something along those lines. But I could see why they would put him in a match at WrestleMania. But if he's involved in another match at The Shield at WrestleMania, I can almost guarantee you that he will be winning despite who his partners are. But with that being said, yes, Sheamus is another big question in this feud as well, given the fact that he's also involved, or he's clearly involved in two different feuds with Wade Barrett and The Shield. Both guys feuds and peaks in recent weeks, and not just every other week, but he's involved in every single or in both feuds each week on Raw, which is kind of strange. I mean, I'd much rather see him against Barrett for the IC Championship. I think that could be an excellent match after the great matches they had in late 2012. The feud itself is kind of shady at the moment. They're kind of feuding over the fact that Wade Barrett has a minor role movie that Sheamus should be no part of. Sheamus is just, it appears that he's jealous of Wade Barrett's role in the movie, so that doesn't make much sense. But aside from that, yes, the match at WrestleMania would be great, regardless of whether Sheamus comes out with the title or not. But hopefully they go that direction rather than have Sheamus in the six-man tag team match, because again, he's another guy that already lost at Elimination Chamber of the Shield, as well as the next round in Raw. Jericho, I can see that as a possibility, but again, versus Ziggler is a match that I want to see, but as you were just saying, Seth, they didn't have that feud really teased in recent weeks as well. So the whole undercard involving The Shield, I think, is the biggest question mark on the WrestleMania card at this point in time. Hopefully that gets up next week's Raw with a clear, definite opponent or a definitive team for Shield to face at WrestleMania. So on that note, we do have a caller on the line. Area code 917. Please state your name, where you're from, and your thoughts on the WrestleMania undercard involving The Shield.
What's up, Graham? It's JCD.
Hey, how's it going, JCD?
Good. All right. Me and Seth got into this a little last night, and I kind of thought about it. How about this? And this would fix everything. You go Barrett-Sheamus, Ryback-Henry, and then you go Orton and Miz with someone from NXT against The Shield, with the storyline being, can they trust whoever it is, whether it be Steamboat, whether it be Ono? I don't think Wyatt's a good spot for that. Even Dallas, in that role, oh, can we trust them? Look at what these guys from NXT did. And that's where you have Orton turned. After all the finger point at the NXT guy,
that
it's
is
Orton
not
the guy.
Happening.
Okay, you want a creativity, right?
There's no way that's happening. First of all, what's Jericho doing? Facing Ziggler?
Jericho Ziggler.
Jericho,
and you know what you do with that match?
Happening.
I'll tell you exactly what you do with that match. You could do that match the week before WrestleMania and add it on. What you do with Jericho Ziggler is you use Jericho as the first guy to job to Ziggler to establish him seriously for the title run.
Because
Ziggler's going to need it. Ziggler's going to need a couple of names to lay down for him.
But we haven't seen the Shield interact with the Miz in a long time. There's nothing that tells me the Miz is going to get involved with the Shield. Plus, how does this third person, this NXT guy, even get involved in this match?
You have him show up at Raw. Hey, listen, I know what these guys are about. I dealt with them down at NXT. I want to help you guys.
It's not
hard to do.
We are not seeing another NXT debut before WrestleMania. It's not happening.
You're probably right. But at least it was something. It would actually, though, it
nice
would fix
try.
The whole issue. It would fix the whole issue.
That's not a bad idea. It is creative. I will give you that much. But if anyone was to fill that spot as far as an NXT rookie goes, I would most definitely see Bo Dallas being that guy. Again, he hasn't been shown on Raw in weeks, and I'm perfectly, completely content with that. I wasn't high on his abilities anyway. I did appreciate the fact that WWE tried to push him right out of the gate with his appearance in the Royal Rumble match, eliminating Wade Barrett, picking up the upset victory the next night on Raw, but they really haven't established that feud with Barrett since that point in time. I don't think Barrett versus Bo Dallas at this point in time is a good match for WrestleMania. I would have rather seen that in Elimination Chamber, but since that didn't happen, I don't think having it at this point is the better idea. But if they were going to do that NXT thing, again, I don't think it's that likely of a possibility. I think it's a good idea, a creative idea at that, but I don't think it's all that likely of a possibility. But Randy Orton and Miz, I will agree on Miz, though. Miz is a guy that did not have a WrestleMania at this point in time. Again, he was a guy that didn't have a WrestleMania match at WrestleMania 28 until the final week when he had a multi-man match. So, again, I think I could see him being involved in that matchup, given his history with the Shield. As Seth said, he hasn't been involved with the Shield in many weeks, but I think they could still incorporate him somehow. As far as his match with Cesaro goes, those two have been feuding with over the United States Championship in recent weeks, but thankfully we won't be getting that rematch at WrestleMania. Those two have been working fine matches together, but that's a match that I do not want to see at WrestleMania. And thankfully, I believe it's being blown off tomorrow night on SmackDown in a 2-out-of-3 count falls match for the U.S.
Yep.
Championship. So that should be entertaining.
Yep.
But hopefully we don't see a rematch between the two at WrestleMania. I just want to leave it at that as Cesaro face someone else.
Graham, I got one more thing about the Shield.
Because
I did write an article looking at who the Shield might face at WrestleMania, and I know everyone's going to say no to this idea, but what if they faced The Undertaker and Team Hell No?
No.
I agree. I completely agree.
Kane's going to fight Bryan at WrestleMania.
I know.
I hope not.
They probably are.
I hope.
There's
a
reason why Road Scholars...
Year,
I'm telling you, there's a reason why Road Scholars and Kofi and Truth were put back together. And whether it's one of those teams that are going to knock them off or they're just going to implode and vacate the tag titles and do something with it from there, but there's a reason why those two teams were put back together after they broke up.
I hope that at least Team Road Scholars gets put back together because that was a terrible mistake. But I actually think it's going to be Brodus Clay and Tenzai who win the gold.
Yeah, they'll get the belt.
Sadly, I see that happening.
In some sort of maybe fatal four-way match or gauntlet match maybe, somehow getting the belt.
Teams like that always end up with the belt. Santino and Kozlov, Hurricane and Rosie. Even if it's a short run, teams like that always end up with the belt. So they'll get a run with it. Whether
and they're
the team
well.
That beats Hell No, yeah, or the team that beats Hell No, they'll have the belt this year. They will.
I think the main difference between those two teams that you compared, like Santino and Kozlov, was the fact that Santino and Kozlov were pretty average competitors in the ring as a tag team. They could put on some decent matches as a tag team. Brodus Clay and Tensai, I can't say much about them. Brodus Clay and Tensai are fine on their own, but together, the only matches that we've seen from those guys in recent weeks since they formed their tag team haven't been all that long, so I necessarily don't want to see them with the tag team titles. I mean, keeping the titles on Hell No for this long, I guess, has been a solid idea. They're both former world champions, but the tag division is kind of suffering as of late because guys like the primetime players who should have won the tag team championships last year, in my personal opinion, they haven't been used on Raw at all lately. And the fact that they only got used this week on Raw to job to Team Hell No in a match they were handicapped. Bryan was blindfolded while Kane had an arm tied behind his back, and Primetime Players still lost. So, unfortunately, I don't see them winning the tag team titles, although I would much rather see them as tag team champions at this point in time.
Yeah.
But of all the ideas that I don't want to see just this one match, as I was saying before, Kane and Bryan in a singles match. That is one match I don't want to see, mostly because I have a very bad feeling that they'd go the route with Kane versus Bryan for the WWE Tag Team Championships. Kind of something that they were teasing when they first formed their tag team. I don't see. You know, I think they could get that route, but I don't think it'd do anything to the tag team titles at all. I think going with your idea maybe a four-way tag team, I think it'd be a better idea, but another singles match between the two is something I don't really want to see after we started last year's SummerSlam event. So,
I kind of agree.
Do something with the tandem, because they haven't really been showing anything in recent weeks anyway, so.
I kind of agree, Graham, but what if Kane versus Daniel Bryan in a singles match, but the winner gets both tag team titles? So the winner is the tag team champion.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, that's
yeah.
What I fear. That's what I fear, because I don't think it'd do all that much of the tag team titles. I mean, maybe it could help the division. I mean, that's what I mean. And maybe it could help the titles, but it's not going to help the division. Guys like Road Scholars, who should have already won the tag team titles, they should be back together at this point in time. I'm not really sure if they are officially or not, but then you got guys that like Kofi Kingston and R-Truth, who aren't really officially back together, who I hope aren't, but they're better as singles competitors, but they're not being used anyway. But even still, Primetime Players, another prime example. Primo and Epico, another quality tag team. Even Brodus Clay and Tensa, I'd much rather see them as tag team champions rather than Daniel Bryan with the tag team titles by himself or King with the tag team titles by himself, because it's not going to do anything for the division at all.
No, it won't. But a singles match at WrestleMania, especially if Kane goes heel and Bryan's going to be the face, and if Bryan can tap Kane, maybe a hell of a start to a Bryan singles run.
True, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. After the rules were kind of reversed from last year, where Daniel Bryan was a heel going to their match at SummerSlam and Kane was a face, I think the dynamic would be much better with Kane as a heel, as you mentioned, with Bryan being the babyface, and it worked perfectly, especially if you had Bryan go after the World Championship shortly thereafter, you know, with him in Ziggler or whatever, or him and Del Rio, or something along those lines. That'd be great, too. So
give me some Bryan Ziggler. Bryan Ziggler for the World Heavyweight title at SummerSlam.
That would be a five-star match. We saw those two back at Bragging Rights in 2010, and they had a great match.
Oh, how great were how great were those matches? I think for the US and IC, right?
Yeah, even the one they had on Raw, I think 2 weeks before Hell in a Cell, or the week before Hell in a Cell.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was one of the better matches of Monday's history, in Raw's history in 2012. Yeah, that was a great match.
No doubt about it. Those two having a world title match would be phenomenal.
Yeah, it all kind of depends on when Ziggler ends up cashing in. Hopefully it's at WrestleMania. That's kind of what it's looking like, but again, that's kind of what we said about Hell in a Cell, and then TLC, then Royal Rumble, then Chamber, so I'm kind of getting doubtful at this point in time, but hopefully
he's got five more months.
About, but yeah, exactly.
He's got
a while, so he could. Or one suggestion, if you want to have that match at Mania, and this is something that I was thinking about a few weeks ago, is that you have Dolph Ziggler cash in at the Money in the Bank pay per view itself, since it's his last night. He has to cash in. That can be the whole storyline going into that matchup. Is the fact that he'd have to cash in that briefcase on that night. So it would be him versus the world champion, whoever it is at that time, whether it be Del Rio or Swagger or whoever. He would have to cash in on that night for the world championship, and so he can build it all about. So he doesn't really have to use the the standard way of sneaking in on their opponent and cashing in that way. As great as that usually is, he can pull the route that he has to hold it for a full year, or he waits until the very last minute, and he has to cash in on that night, otherwise he's not going to be world champion at all. So I want to get your thoughts on that feud as well, or that angle if they ended up going that route.
I actually said something kind of like this to Seth last night, did I not? About what if Ziggler was going to be the guy that time was going to run out on? and he was going to have to do something at Money in the Bank with it. So I'm completely on board with it. I mentioned that, I said that last night. You know, what if he's the guy that time runs out on?
It would be really bad for his character.
Yeah, that would be very bad. I mean, the guy's had the briefcase for months, and to actually do the cash-in at Money in the Bank, I mean, just that idea scares me, alone that...
Yeah, but you've got to get creative with the concept of it. It's you know, it's almost like these world title matches and the WWE matches on the pay-per-views. It's like when these guys are out there with the briefcase, it's almost like everyone's just waiting for the end to see if the guy's going to cash in. They've got to get creative with it again.
Yeah. Well, I think that they're actually doing kind of a good job in that Ziggler doesn't really have anything to do. He's not really getting any focus, and that's kind of good in that sense, because maybe we'll forget about him a little bit. So in that sense, I think it's good. I mean, like I said to you last night, JCD, a few weeks ago on Raw, we didn't see Ziggler, AJ, and Big E at all on Raw a few weeks ago.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, a buddy of mine even had an even more interesting scenario. You have Ziggler cash in. What if it turns out Ziggler's been waiting this whole time to cash in on the winner of Cena Rock, because while he was still with Vicky, Vicky put a clause in that said that the briefcase is for any title. How's that for stealing the show at WrestleMania?
That would be great.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I think it'd be better if he just cashed in on the world championship, because I could see where you're going with that, but it wouldn't be all that logical. I can see where that somewhat makes sense with the whole Vicky thing and the clause. I think they just go the straightforward approach and just have
only
cash
because
in the world championship.
What does Cena do after WrestleMania? After April 8th, what
right
does Cena do?
Turn.
Well, That's another thing, too.
You know,
The Rock is advertised for the Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
He's off it now. He's off. No, he's off.
He's not going to the show?
No, he was pulled off yesterday because he's filming Hercules.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, I thought he was advertised, but...
He was. And then yesterday they said he's filming Hercules, so he's not going to be there.
Okay, but then that goes back to your point. Then what do they do with the WWE title? It's specifically not just John Cena, but the whole WWE title picture. We'll just kind of transition over this now. What do you do with the WWE title? You got Cena and Punk. If Punk loses to The Undertaker at WrestleMania, which he more than likely will, because that's kind of the route they're taking at this point in time, what do you do with CM Punk and what do you do with John Cena? You can't put those two in a feud against one another again. I mean, as awesome as their matches this week on Raw, what do you do with those guys after WrestleMania?
I could see Punk taking a little time off. He's been banged up, you know, between the knee, being sick, a bunch of other little injuries. I wouldn't be surprised if Punk takes a little bit of a time off. I think Punk's going face this summer. I think him and Lesnar is going to happen at SummerSlam. So I could see Punk taking some time off and then coming back initially as a heel, and then maybe Heyman turns his back on him and that starts the feud with him and Lesnar. I wouldn't be surprised if Punk disappears after WrestleMania.
That's a possible direction too, because we haven't really seen Paul Heyman with CM Punk. We've seen him more with Lesnar.
We haven't seen him at all with Punk since Lesnar came back.
Yeah, exactly. So I could see that. I could see Punk taking a little time off, which is fine. So okay, but that's someone out of the way for Cena to work with. And Punk Cena should not be at Extreme Rules or Over the Limit. Punk Cena is special. Before Monday night even, Punk Cena is special. That's a big show match. You're going to turn Ryback heel, especially if Ryback shell shocks Mark Henry and gets a monster pop at MetLife Stadium for that? You're going to turn Ryback heel, or is the Prudential Center or Izod Center, wherever it was, going to be explode for Ryback as a face if Ryback comes down and destroys Cena the night after WrestleMania?
Exactly. That was another thing that I was concerned about as well, as far as in regards to a Ryback heel turn. I think he's so crazily over with the crowd to the point where I don't think it's all that smart of an idea to turn him heel at this point in time. It's no surprise, or it's no really surprise to anyone, that the fact that they are kind of low on top heels at the moment, and they do need to desperately turn someone heel. And I think Randy Orton is that guy, but he's not all that relevant at this point in time, where if he was to turn heel, it wouldn't feel like something special until he's involved in a top-tier program with a guy like Sheamus. If he turns down his team at WrestleMania, I can see that happening. It's all about how they execute it and how they turn whoever they're going to turn heel. I mean, I could see Ryback potentially being that guy, but David said this earlier in the show, that they didn't really foreshadow it this week on Raw. So hopefully they abandon that idea. As much as I want to see Cena versus Ryback at some point in time, that could have some money to it. But again, how many monsters have we seen Ryback or John Cena just plow through with ease? You know what I mean? So I don't think it's all that helpful.
It reminds me almost of Cena and Bobby Lashley from 2007 when I think they faced each other at the Great American Bash. And, you know, they wanted Lashley to get some heat against Cena, and it didn't happen. The crowd was actually ready for a Lashley win at that point because Lashley was so dominant. He battled through ECW. You know, got drafted to Raw, battled through everybody. You know, Cena's just, unfortunately at this point, Cena's not the guy that a big, powerful, bruising babyface like Ryback, if he goes after him, a big majority of the crowd is not going to boo that. It's not.
Exactly. This is my biggest fear, is the fact that he'd just go down cleanly to John Cena with ease, and that it wouldn't help Ryback whatsoever, and he would just be further down the card than it is right now. So, with that being said, hopefully they do something with Ryback in the WWE title picture at some point in time down the line, just not immediately following WrestleMania, but I'm definitely on board with your idea regarding CM Punk, giving him some time off, getting his character a break following Mania, have Heyman fed up with his losses after losing to the Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, losing to John Cena on Raw this week, losing to potentially Taker at WrestleMania, and then Heyman is just so fed up with Punk's losses that he doesn't want to be associated with him anymore. You have Punk take some time off. You have maybe Lesnar attack Punk night after Mania. And again, this is something that we were talking about a few weeks ago. You don't need to necessarily turn Punk. He works great as a heel. I love him as a face as well. But after turning him heel last summer and having the best work of his career in the last year, I can see why some people are a bit hesitant to turn him back face at this point in time, especially given the sense that they are at a stunning lack of heels at the moment. Maybe you could do a tweener kind of thing. Maybe you could do heel versus heel. I'm not sure how well that would work, but
Punk would be over.
Because I definitely agree with you that we should see Punk versus Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Let me ask you guys a question. It's a little off topic. Do you guys at all see Lesnar beating Triple H again at Mania?
Nope.
No.
I don't know, to be honest with you. Before he signed the extension, I would have said, Lesnar's getting his ass kicked and sent out the door. Now Lesnar's signed for 2 years. So, you know, he'll probably lose. I don't know if he's going to get buried like everyone kind of expected. I could see that going like a street fight type route. Triple H picks up a win, and then Lesnar does something the next night just to re-garner all his heat. That's, you know, the contract extension kind of clouds that a little. 3 months ago, before the extension, it was like, no, Lesnar's going to get his ass kicked and he's going to get kicked out the door, but you got 2 years of them now.
You know what the problem with Punk versus Lesnar at SummerSlam is? Having Punk turn face is like what Graham's saying. There are not enough top heels right now. They just turned two heels in Miz and Alberto Del Rio face. So they need to turn a couple of the faces heel. And I know you all think it's going to be Randy Orton, but I don't think Randy Orton turns heel anytime soon. We've seen Orton versus Cena many times in the past, so there's no reason to have that again.
You don't need to do that, though.
What do you mean?
You don't need to do Orton-Cena again. Let's go Orton-Sheamus. Let's go Orton, let's mix it up a little. Let's go Orton-Del Rio with Del Rio as the face.
Okay.
Orton, you know,
Focus on John Cena and the WWE title for a minute.
Okay.
Like you said, what's he going to do after he wins the title? If Punk is not there, or we're not going to see Punk Cena again, then who are we going to see? You know, that's why it kind of has to be someone like Ryback, someone we haven't seen feud with Cena before.
Yeah, I mean, I get that and all. It's just, it's going to be hard to sell that feud, especially with Ryback as a heel. What about, you know, again, and this goes back into the Ziggler thing. Ziggler's lost to Cena clean. He's lost to Ryback clean. There's, you know, now if you can somehow get that belt on Ziggler, it would, you would think every month Ziggler's going to lose, but then Ziggler beats Cena. Ziggler beats Ryback. Ziggler beats Sheamus. And now he's building.
Well, maybe we see Ziggler cash in and get the World Heavyweight title, and they move Swagger over to focus on the WWE title now that he's getting all this attention.
You could do that.
I could see that happening. I think it's just more the fact that we don't have to have Ziggler versus Cena like you were saying. I think that could be a good feud if they had Ziggler go back after the WWE title, but I think Ziggler the World Championship at this point in time, and having him feud with guys like Jericho as I don't know how long he's going to be around for, but you have him feud with guys like Jericho, Del Rio over the world title over on SmackDown. That would work well. Jack Swagger, that would be pretty cool. Him versus Cena, him versus Ryback in the WWE title picture. If he continues to build momentum going forward, I could definitely see that happening. It's just more the fact that it's what they do with it after Mania. A lot of people are speculating that he's just going to get buried within 17 seconds at WrestleMania, then go on to be suspended for another month. Again, as I was saying earlier in the show, I don't think they would wait to suspend him until after Mania. That's just waiting way too long. It's just pointless by that point in time. I don't think he's going to win the World Championship. I don't think he's going to be buried either. I think they're just going to have him lose and just move on. But if Jericho or if Ziggler's moving in the world title picture, then yes. And then you're going to maybe move Swagger into the WWE title picture with Cena, with Ryback, with Punk. And like you were saying before, if Lesnar is at WrestleMania and needs to get that heat back the next night on Raw, just have him attack CM Punk after Paul Heyman and CM Punk get in an argument, and you have Heyman call down Lesnar. Lesnar attacks Punk. I'm not sure if that turns Lesnar face or Punk face or whoever, but that's
face.
How you get Punk off TV for a few months. That's how you get Lesnar's heat back, and that's pretty much the book, and or at least in my eyes. But before we move
on.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully they do book something along those lines in the night after WrestleMania. Again, it all kind of depends on what we get at WrestleMania, but we'll be discussing The Undertaker in just a brief minute, but we'll be going off the live stream in just a few mere minutes, and we won't be going much long in the overtime after that, but even still, if you'd like to listen to the rest of the podcast, it will be available on blogtalkradio.com/PWP radio for the rest of the podcast. Make sure to listen, and then I will be tweeting the link out after the show. So make sure to check out the remainder of the podcast after we go off the live stream in just a few minutes. But on that note, we do have another live caller on the line, area code 347. Please state your name, where you're from, and thoughts on what we've been talking about in regards to WrestleMania 29.
Hey, Graham, it's Joseph. I just called in. I'm not sure what you guys were talking about right now. What was it again?
We were just talking about turning Punk face, Lesnar losing at Mania. We were talking about Swagger moving to the WWE title picture, Ziggler the world title, or basically anything you want to talk about. We've been talking about a variety of things over the last few minutes.
Well, in regards to Jack Swagger's situation, come WrestleMania, I don't think it's going to be like... Well, right now, he's gotten WWE pretty up in the mainstream. Not totally, but he has gotten them up there, along with Zeb Coulter, of course. And I still don't think he will win the world title. I think Del Rio will, you know, overcome Swagger, and that could really solidify Del Rio's face because he's the Latino hero. I'm not sure what's going to happen to Swagger afterwards. I don't think he's going to get punished. I think I heard you say this before, that it will be, like, really already far gone for them to suspend him at that point. So I think that he won't be punished, of course. I'm not sure what they're going to do with him. I would love to see him in, like, I don't know. I would just like to see him in some type of, like, main event feud, if there's any possible. And regarding to Ziggler, I'm not too sure what what's going on with him, because basically he's best booked on pay-per-views, because he hasn't he won at Survivor Series, he won at TLC, he lasted the longest at the Royal Rumble, he won his match in Elimination Chamber, and basically most of the time on TV he's booked like shit. Even though he has strong showings, there's no really point to it if he loses all the time, like he did with Ryback. So right now Ziggler is not doing anything. He's just losing. So he's definitely going to I don't know how long until he catches him. He'll definitely be after WrestleMania, of course, but not too sure when will be the date, like Extreme Rules, or I'm not sure when. The Money in the Bank contract expires until next Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which will be in, when will it be?
July.
July,
huh? Until the next Money in the Bank pay-per-view, I'm not sure when is that, but,
July.
So, you know, they're still planning, there's still, like, a long time for him to cash in. Hopefully they don't, like, just, let it go all the way and never have him cash in or anything at all. And that's my thoughts on that stuff.
Yeah, that kind of goes back to what I was saying a little earlier. Just the idea of Dolph Ziggler cashing in at the next Money in the Bank. Just the idea scares me, because the guy that wins the next Money in the Bank, which I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it's gonna be Antonio Cesaro, because that's another guy they've been building up a lot.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like the idea of Dolph Ziggler cashing in and then having Cesaro cash in on him right away just scares me. Like, that's just the whole idea. Not just the idea of him cashing in on Money in the Bank. That's just the whole thing that scares me too much.
Yeah, I can understand that. Given the fact that cashing, whoever wins the SmackDown briefcase that night, whether it be Antonio Cesaro or my pick, Wade Barrett, or Cody Rhodes or whoever, could cash in their briefcase that night. As we saw last year with Dolph Ziggler, he unsuccessfully cashed in, has attempted to cash in about a million times since then. So, and Joseph brought up a good point in saying that Ziggler is booked like shit on TV, but he's booked strongly on pay-per-view, given his pay-per-view record over the last few months. I would not at all be surprised to see Swagger lose at Mania and have or subsequently cash in the briefcase to become World Heavyweight Champion following an excellent match earlier in the evening, whether it be with Jericho or with whoever. But with that being said, one final topic in regard to The Undertaker, who returned last week at a live event in Texas just last Saturday, was rumored to be on this week's Raw, however did not make an appearance, and I think that was for the best. I was initially disappointed, but I think it was for the best, because I don't think it would have made much sense for him to return following the John Cena victory. It would have kind of felt a little out of place, so I'm kind of glad they're kind of saving it until next week's Old School Raw, or here's hoping that it does end up appearing on that show. So we'll just start out with whoever has the thoughts first or whatever. Seth, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on Undertaker's return, whether you think it was a good idea for him to return at the live event last week, and what you see him doing at WrestleMania.
Well, I do think that because they had him return then, and they obviously even promoted that on, I think it was WWE.com. You know, it did probably cause maybe more people to tune into Raw the following night. And I think now, because of that, and just because it's WrestleMania season, people want to continue to tune in and see when The Undertaker will make his return. I've never been a fan of the idea of Punk versus Undertaker. I know probably everyone else is a fan of that idea, and I do understand why, but it made more sense when Punk was champion, because then it was streak versus streak. But now that Punk isn't even champion, I don't even see the point, unless for some reason Punk ends the streak, but that's probably not going to happen. What I do think is, I know this is jumping the gun a little bit and going a little farther, but I do think we'll see John Cena against The Undertaker next year at WrestleMania 30. In terms of this year, it does look like it will be Undertaker CM Punk, but maybe The Undertaker takes a year off. Who knows?
Exactly, exactly. That was something that I had in mind as well in regards to John Cena versus The Undertaker, a match that I wanted to see last year at WrestleMania, so that he went 20-0 against Cena. But, of course, when it was first announced that we'd be getting Rock versus Cena at WrestleMania 28, my hopes and dreams kind of went up in flames at that point. But hopefully we'll be getting it next year, hopefully, if Undertaker's ready to go by that event. And, yes, he could always take this year off, but by this point I don't think it would be the best idea. After WWE started advertising his return, and it was a good idea, I guess, because someone brought up this point as well. I would have rather been shocked to see him appear on Raw, whether it be this week or last week or this past week or the upcoming episode or whatever, but someone brought up a good point as well in the sense that they needed to kind of test out his in-ring abilities at that house show. If he wasn't doing well, then they wouldn't have put him in WrestleMania. If he did pass their test, that he would be good for WrestleMania, and he did, that they would have him return on the upcoming episode of Raw. And it also kind of fits in the old school episode that he does return at the show. So at the show with CM Punk, and also on this week's Raw, CM Punk was dropping words like God, Immortal, Icon. So they were kind of playing stage for that feud. And I kind of see where you accept sense that it would have made more sense when Punk was champion. That's why I really wanted to see this match, but I still want to see, regardless of whether it's over the championship or not. It would have made more sense if it was. Unfortunately, it's not, and they're just kind of going around with the streak versus Punk. And another concern going into this match is the fact that Punk is going to lose yet another big match on pay-per-view. But, again, if he takes time off following WrestleMania, I think he'd be okay. But as for you other guys, if you guys would like to give your thoughts on Undertaker going into WrestleMania 29.
Yeah, I'm Undertaker Punk, that's going to be the way to go. He didn't belong on Monday night. This week works. I could see something for, you know, I understand the whole Punk's going to lose again mentality. What if Taker, and he did this when he was a heel, when he faced Jeff Hardy in the ladder match on Raw. What if after the match, Taker lifts Punk up and gives him like that little nod, like, you're the man. So, though Punk would lose, it would kind of soften the effect from that. And then it would lead into the following night on Raw with Heyman being like, what the hell was that? You know, you lost. I don't want to, you know, are you going soft? And you know, it can tie in a bunch of ways. Taker in-ring supposedly looked very good. Physically, he's not there yet, but a gut is a very easy thing to lose in 6 weeks. So I'm not worried. I think, I'll tell you right now, I think Punk Taker will, in as far as top two or three matches, Punk Taker will be the best of the bunch. It will be better than Triple H Lesnar, and it will be better than Rock and Cena.
Oh, by far, definitely. And that's another concern as well. After the amazing match that Punk and Cena put up on this week's Raw, some people are calling it the best match of the year thus far, and it's hard to disagree with that. But with that being said, how will Rock and Cena be able to outlast that match come WrestleMania? I mean, after their match last year, I thought it told a good story. I enjoyed the drama of it, but from an in-ring standpoint, it wasn't a five-star classic. The match that we saw in this week's Raw most definitely was. So how do you see the match at WrestleMania between Rock and Cena differing from last year? And it's not going to obviously not over outlast Punk and Cena from this week's Raw, but how do you see this feud being booked going to WrestleMania now that it's official that we'd be seeing Rock versus Cena going to WrestleMania? How do you guys think this feud is going to be booked going into the show of shows between Rock and Cena?
I think you're going to see the opposite from last year. I think you're going to see a lot of ass kissing, to be honest with you. Whereas last year was all the trash talking, I think you're going to see a lot of ass kissing. And I got to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to be very good, to be honest with you, the build-up to it. I think the match is going to be – the only thing different about that match is going to be the fact that Cena's going to win. The match is not going to be great. And, you know, yeah, I think it's just going to be a lot of ass-kissing to be blunt.
Yeah, I mean, Graham, I was telling you last time on the last time show, I mean, what more can they add to a Rock-Cena feud? Everything was done last year. All the trash talking, all the build-up was done last year. So what more can they do? What more can they add to the feud to make us want to see it again, and even at WrestleMania?
Exactly, exactly. And they need to change it up a little bit to separate it from last year and even the year before that. I mean, going to WrestleMania 27, it was pretty good for the most part with John Cena's responses to The Rock and what The Rock initially said when he came back, that was fantastic. But by this point last year, it was really becoming overkill by the point to the point that no one really wanted to see their exchanges on Raw each week, because it really didn't get serious until the final 2 weeks, until before WrestleMania 28. So here's hoping to keep it serious this time. But I initially got excited when you said, JCB, that there would be a lot of ass kicking on the upcoming feud. But then you said pissing. I thought you said ass kicking.
I think it's gonna be a complete love fest. I respect you. You were better than me
for
3 seconds. Blah blah blah. You brought the best out in me, even though and I welcome the challenge and all that garbage. I'm telling you, it's gonna be lame.
I mean, This is what I would do. All right. You go into WrestleMania, you have Rock and Cena just completely kiss each other's asses, just completely just put each other over. And come WrestleMania, whether the match is good or bad, who knows? It'll probably be good, but it won't be, like, great or anything. It'll probably be the same as last year. This is just a fantasy book thing. If Rock was actually still booked for Extreme Rules, this is what I would do. I would have them 5 weeks of just ass. We would have to put up with 5 weeks of ass kissing, I hate to say it, but we'd have to do it. Come match at WrestleMania, The Rock actually beats John Cena again. And then it's just Cena sitting there, smiling. Rock goes to give the arm out to Cena to help him up. They hug, they lift the arms, and you have Cena just kick Rock in the nuts and give him an attitude adjustment. And then this is just a big John Cena heel turn. He's looking at those little wristbands that he wears on his hands. He just looks at them, just takes them off, throws them on the floor. He looks at the crowd, flips them off, and walks away.
Oh my God, I love that.
I think it's just more the fact, and at WrestleMania, that would be epic. What do you do for the build-up? I mean, I understand, I would love to see, what I wanted to see initially was John Cena develop a more edgier character going into WrestleMania, and he has shown signs of that in recent weeks in his match with Punk, in his pre-match promo before his match with Punk. He showed signs of his serious side, which we don't normally see from John Cena unless he's motivated with a guy like CM Punk. With Rock last year, we didn't see as much from him until, as I said before, until the final 2 weeks before WrestleMania. But if they're going to go that direction, at this point in time, he's not really showing his serious side as much with The Rock as he did last WrestleMania. But if they went with that scenario, then the big payoff wouldn't be until WrestleMania. I don't think the build would be all that great. But if it was, I guess it sounds worth it, definitely. So if they went that route, I guess the third match would have to be held at Extreme Rules or something like that. What I wanted to see was Rock retains, or maybe not Rock retains, maybe Cena wins, but I initially thought that Rock would be at Extreme Rules. Sadly, as you guys clarified before, that is not happening, but that match that we were calling for before isn't going to have anything to do following WrestleMania, and if he doesn't take time off after all and it continues on, then that's where you do that triple threat match. That's where you do Rock versus Punk versus Cena for the WWE title. As I said before, as you guys clarified before, that is not possible at this point in time because Rock is not advertised for the event. But even still, the build-up for this feud is what is the major factor and what is going to get us excited for WrestleMania. Because at this point in time, WrestleMania looks like a throwaway show as it was in 2007. I mean, the hype for that show was goofy, but the build-up or the event itself was pretty lackluster in my personal opinion. The build-up to this show isn't even good. The event may pay off to be great, but the build-up, it's WrestleMania and needs to be epic, and they need to start confirming matches now, as we've been talking about the last hour and a half, in regards to guys like Dolph Ziggler, Sheamus, Orton, Shield, Barrett, everybody. They need to be confirmed in matches for WrestleMania now, otherwise people will not be excited for WrestleMania. Because by this point in time, in years past, we would have had 75% of the card already confirmed or set in our heads and scheduled and whatever, set in stone. Unfortunately, it's not like that this year. Maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing, that it's unpredictable, but they need to go full steam ahead starting on this week's Raw at Old School. Here's hoping that they go that direction because they have five Raws. I mean, they cannot wait until the very last minute because, as I said before, this is WrestleMania. This is their be-all, end-all. This is their biggest show of the year. They need to start confirming matches now because at this point in time, I'm not extremely excited for the event with the matches that we have already planned. So with all that being said, we're about to go off the live stream. So if any of you guys would like to get any final say and any final topics that we didn't discuss over the course of the show.
No, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Anyone else?
Nope.
No, I'm good.
Sounds good. So we'll get straight to the plugs. Seth, if you'd like to go first, plug your social networking sites, your Bleacher Report articles, all that stuff.
Absolutely. You can follow me at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. Check out my site, GuttWrenchPowerBlog.com, GuttWrenchPowerBlog.com. I'm also a featured columnist on Bleacher Report. You can find me by searching Seth M. Guttenplan. Just as a heads up, JCD and I have been asked to do commentary in a live podcast at an indie show in Paterson, New Jersey in late April. So be on the lookout for news about that and how to access that. Last night we had ECW original Jason Knight, so you want to check out that interview. He had some very interesting things to say about how he feels about the past and present in professional wrestling. So, you know, check all that stuff out, and thanks again for having me.
Excellent. And David, if you'd like to plug your Twitter as well.
You can find me at Twitter, search up Debo. D-E-E-B-O underscore 82. I also have a YouTube channel. It is RebelXYouth82. I have no videos at the moment, but I plan on putting a few up in the near future about just reviews and all that good stuff. And yeah.
Sounds great. And as always, you guys can find me on Facebook at Graham GSM Matthews. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Doubt at Save Us underscore GSM. You can also find me on Bleach Report at Graham GSM Matthews. Check out my YouTube channel at Teddy. Visit my website for all the WWE TNA rumors, recaps, and more at NextEraWrestling.Weebly.com. Make sure to listen to Save Us GSM every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 Central Time on PW247.net. And, of course, listen to next week's Spoilers podcast right here on blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio every Thursday evening at 5:30 Eastern Time, 4:30 Central Time. We'll be talking about Old School Raw, more than on The Undertaker, and everything else going on the road to WrestleMania 29. So thanks, everyone, for listening to this week's episode, and we'll catch you next week.
All right, guys, take care.